Chapter 14. William Black. Abby took me to her ex-husband's office, which had William Black written on the door. I knocked on the door, and a voice said,
"Come in."
William Black had gray-brown hair, a short beard, and round glasses. From behind his desk, he asked,
"What can I do for you tonight?"
"Did you know my dad, Thomas Shell?" I asked. He thought for a minute, then said,
"No, I don't know any Shells."
"You said no, not new. My dad is dead, so you couldn't know him now."
"Oh, I'm sorry to hear that."
"But maybe you did know him. I found a little envelope that had your name on it. At first, I thought it was your wife's name, so I spoke to her. But she was really sad and said she didn't know anything about it. And your name is William, so I hadn't reached Blacks with names starting with W yet."
"So, what was so special about the envelope?"
he asked. I pulled out the key on the chain around my neck and showed it to him. It said Black on the envelope, and this was inside it. He said,
"I can't believe it. I've spent 2 years looking for this key."
"And I've spent a year looking for the lock." I was finally able to ask the most important question of my life. What does the key open?
"It opens a safe deposit box."
"Was it my dad's?" I asked.
"Your dad's?"
He sounded surprised. "Yes, I found the key in my dad's closet. I couldn't ask him what it meant, because he's dead, so I had to find out myself."
"Did you find it in a blue glass vase?"
"Yes!" William Black started to explain.
"A couple of years ago, my father became very ill. The doctor told him he would only live for 2 more months. Because he knew he was going to die, he started writing lots of letters. He wrote to everyone he knew to say goodbye and to tell them anything important he wanted to say."
"Did he write one to you?" I asked.
"Yes, but I couldn't read it for a few weeks."
"Why not? Didn't you want to know what it said?"
"It was too painful. You see, my father and I weren't very close. I didn't want to keep any of his things. So, in those first few weeks after he died, I decided to sell them all."
I thought that was a bit strange, because Dad's things were all I wanted, but I didn't say anything.
"I had a street sale, and people I didn't know came and bought everything, even his sunglasses and his wedding suit. It was a terrible day, maybe the worst day of my life."
He stopped speaking for a moment, then went on.
"Anyway, that evening, after the sale, I opened the letter and read it. I was hoping he would say that he loved me, or that he was sorry. But there was none of that. It was just a short letter that explained things I needed to know. Where he kept his important documents, and what he wanted me to take care of."
"Did that make you sad?" I asked.
"I was angry, but I'm not anymore."
I told him I was sorry, and then I asked him about the key.
"At the end of the letter, my father wrote, 'I have something for you.' In the blue vase, on the shelf in the bedroom, is a key for a safe deposit box at our bank. I hope you'll understand why I wanted you to have it.
What was in the safe deposit box? I asked.
But that's the problem,
he said.
I didn't read the letter until after I had sold all of his things. I had sold the vase to your father, so the key had gone.
What? You met my dad?
Yes, just once.
Do you remember him?
A bit. He was a nice man. He said he was buying the vase as a gift for his wife for their wedding anniversary.
That's on September 14th, I said.
I went to the bank and told them what had happened, but they said that without the key, they couldn't help me. So I tried to find your dad, but I didn't know anything about him, not even his name. I made a few signs with pictures of him and put them on street lamps. But this was the week after the September 11th attacks, so there were hundreds of signs about people everywhere.
My mom put signs up about him, too.
What do you mean?
He died in the September 11th attacks.
What? I'm so sorry. I didn't realize.
It's okay. We both sat in silence for a moment, thinking. Well, I said, at least you've now found what you've been looking for. He said,
I'm so sorry. I know you've been looking for something too, and this isn't what you needed to find.
That's okay, I said. But I started to cry.
Are you all right?
He asked kindly. Can I tell you something that I've never told anyone else?
Of course.
On that day, they let us out of school early. I didn't really know what had happened, but I knew it was something bad. My mom and dad were both working, so I walked home. When I got home, I saw a little red light on the phone, so I listened to the messages. There were five, and they were all from him.
Who?
My dad, I said. William looked shocked and put his hand over his mouth. He just kept saying that he was okay and that everything was going to be fine and that we shouldn't worry. A tear went down William's cheek and onto his finger. But this is the thing I've never told anyone, I said. After I listened to the messages, the phone rang. It was 10:22 a.m. I looked at the phone, and I saw that the number was Dad's cell phone.
Oh, no.
Please, could you sit beside me so I can finish what I need to say?
Of course,
he said, and he moved his chair from behind the desk so he could sit next to me. I couldn't pick up the phone. I just couldn't do it. It rang and rang, and I couldn't move. And then the answer machine came on, and I heard Dad's voice. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? He needed me, but I couldn't answer. Are you there? He asked. Not, is anyone there? So I think he knew I was in the apartment. He asked 11 times. There are 15 seconds between the third and the fourth time, like he was giving me time to be brave and answer. You can hear people screaming and crying and glass breaking. That's why I think maybe people were jumping. The phone cut off after the 15th time. That 6th message is 1 minute and 27 seconds long. So it ended at 10:24 a.m., which is when the building fell down.
I'm so sorry,
William said. And then he gave me a really big hug. I asked him, do you forgive me?
For not being able to answer the phone?
He asked. For not being able to tell anyone about it, I said.
Yes,
he said.
I do.
I carefully took the chain with the key off my neck and put it over his head. It was then that I knew I was ready to dig up Dad's coffin.